Okay, today's stuff we're going to do is Chafbet, and we finish off the issue we were discussing last time regarding a shor that kills an eved, and we talked about whether chayv kofer, you are chayv kofer, not chayv kofer. And the question is, minayim leniske eved, how do we know when niske eved, if it actually does damage, then you would be chayv. And that, again, you have to remember the flow of the psukim last time, because if you remember, we talked about Muad tam b'niske adam, and then that was regarding kofar or not. And then we discussed, actually, then it mentioned from the flow in the psukim that was muad and tam together, tam and azikin. And then the pasuk itself continues now, talks about the eved. Now, the fact that it says again, that's the next two psukim, o beni gach o bat gach. That's a pasuk here of k'mishpat yaseh hazeh lo, and then of emeh v'yigach. So the fact that the case of an azikin is followed like the continuation is going straight into Eved. Oh, there'll be Chayiv Nezikin if it didn't kill the Eved. Because remember, we're talking about the payment of Shloshim Kesef. If it killed the Eved, now we're talking about what if it just injures it. So, what's really interesting though is the next debate. Rav Chiya Bar Avan, Rav Shmuel Bar Yav Yitzchak, Chad Amar Lo Tiyeh Tosefet Yoter Al Yikabra, Charan Amar Meshalem Lo Kol Nizko. What happens if the damage you did to the Eved was more than the Shloshim Kesef? So, the pasuk that we're trying to learn to, if you like, not from, but to, he actually only talks about the case if you kill an Eved. And that's what we said, if someone kills, if the shor kills the Eved, not someone, the shor kills an Eved, then you got this fixed amount. That's the Chumra, if you remember, the Shloshim Kesef, irrespective of the value. But if you're trying to learn through juxtaposition, you chayav also Nezik, if it doesn't kill him, well, the Pasuk itself is a maximum of 30. So maybe when it comes to Nezik, it's also capped at that amount. Because the Ikar Pasuk is saying that the maximum is rule. The amount is 30. However, what do we do with this? That's why it's a debate. So the first opinion is, look, Tosefa can't be more than the Ikar Pasuk is talking about. Rachana says, what are you talking about? It's not a problem. The other Shita, either that or Rav Chiya Bar or Shmuel Bar Yitzhak, says, actually, don't mishlem lo kol nizko. No, you learn nizikim, you pay damages. Panic damages is full damages. So you pay the full amount. Okay. Now the Gemara says, this is not halach above. This is an ox that seems to be rubbing against the wall. When a falal adam and it falls and kills it, falls in person. Well, let me just show you that piece already in the Pnei Moshe. So if you look at the Pnei Moshe, it says in that situation, this ox was rubbing itself against the wall, fanatol, it's itchy back or something. When a falal and it fell and collapsed and killed a person, patur minamita. Vim mu'ad lekach. If it happens, this seems to be an ox that seems to do this habitually. And actually kill people as a result. But this situation, he wasn't ramming it down to knock the person over. He was just doing it for his own hana. You don't kill the ox, because we've mentioned before that intent to kill is critical in order to kill an ox. However, Aval Bali Mishalmeta Kofer, Kofer would still be paid. The Dashinan Kofer Shotalav, my im Kofer, it says Larabot. What's the im Kofer? That's Kofer im Kofer Shotalav. Larabot are regular Kavanah Lechayba Kofer. That even though the shor wouldn't necessarily be Chayv Mita, like to be killed as a result of killing without intent, Kofer is still payable. Okay, that's something to be aware of. V'chen Adin B'Kulu, all these other cases we're going to learn. The Chashiv Mitkaven Larogat Ema. Or patur mina mita, kofer. So all these things, when you're saying patur, it's patur mina mita. That's what the Pnei Moshe is telling us. But you still be chayiv if you like mita. So what are the cases? All these three cases, like we've discussed, we mentioned these before. For example, the animal intended to kill, it was attacking, if you like, an animal, and unfortunately, a person got in the way. Well, the straw wouldn't be put down in that situation, so therefore, it's not intent to kill if it ends up killing a human being, and then it would be put down. Okay, the Gemara says, "Vishkiyaken kol nefesh, laviat makeh v'yeshbo kedei lamid." Yeah, so here it's talking about if a person kills another person. Fine, beseder. So the pasuk says, "Vishkiyaken nefesh adam," if a person comes and strikes another person. Now it says, "Laviat makeh v'yeshbo kedei lamid." This is referring to where what he strikes is enough to kill the person. Now, what's that mean? So I'm going to keep the gears we have in front of us, which is a complaint like the Moshe. Maruful that changes it, but effectively, I think the result is pretty much the same. It says, Tani, Tani, ein bo kedei lamit, and Amar Reb Elazar says, Afilu yesh bo kedei lamit, u ba'acher v'mit ha'memit chayav. So what's this mean? So I'll explain now the Pnei Moshe. It says, Itani, Tani, You say ein boker elamit kolomar de davke behamakem meharishon ein boker elamit bahahu daachron chayav. So in other words, we're talking about a situation in what the Gemara is referring to, where Reuven strikes, say, Levi, and then Shimon then strikes Levi, and Levi dies as a result. So when do we say that Shimon is chayav mita for killing him? The first understanding is if the Rishon, meaning Reuven, who did the strike, wasn't enough to kill him, and Shimon basically fully killed the person. Okay, that's where Rav Ila says. So that's what the Itani Ein bo kedei lamid. How Rav Ila says, no, lohi, debe ein bo kedei lamid min arishon. If the first person didn't have enough of a strike to kill the person, and the second person actually killed him, pshita da acharon chayav. You don't need the pasuk to tell us that. That's committing murder. There's no diuk in the pasuk to teach you anything new there. Umayka mashmalan, what are we talking about? Ella. Even if the person struck him a fatal blow, but the person hadn't died yet, and the second person comes along and kills him, that, in other words, shorten his life, end up killing him, the second person is chayav, because he's the one that ultimately ended his life, and that's what ended up, if you like, killing him. So that's what the flow of the Gemara it seems according to Bnei Moshe. That the Hava Mina is when do we say Yeshbok Delimito? So when do we say La Via Maker Vyeshbok Delimit? What's that referring to? We're saying that's where it was one person fought another person, even the first person had enough of a blow to kill him that hadn't killed him yet, and the second person comes along and ends up ending his life, he'd be Chayv Mita, the second person.
And the second person, even if he had been the only Makkah, he would not have killed the person.
So if the second person. Yes,
If
that's
the
what I said.
second person, the additional blow of the second person killed the
Yes,
person, but
yes.
if he had been the only one, it would not have killed him.
Presumably, yes. Well, this stage, that was enough to kill him, right? So, yeah. I mean, I'll just show you here the Mara Fulda. He also changes it. But he says, itani tani vafilu ein bo kedei lamid. But the meaning is, I think, the same. He says, Nami motumat, he does be killed. Vehechi dami, what's the case? Kugon nezek sharishon shika oto. The damage he caused, shesh bo dekelam, was enough to kill. Velo met boto maka. And the person, victim, didn't die. That's exactly what you said. The second person did enough that wasn't enough. But despite the fact, if you like, the first, sorry, because the first person put in such a precarious situation, met miyad, the guy died straight away. Therefore, the ha'acharon is chayev shehu meimit.
So
Okay?
it should be
Exactly.
like the fifth person sitting on the bench that breaks the bench.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like it. So that's the way the that so the mouthful this is exactly like you said. Fine. The Gemara says, "Vamemit ish o isha." Okay, what's vahemit? And he killed the ish o isha. Ma ish morish nezakav levanav af af isha moreshet nezakeh levanaya. Meaning the nezek that has to be paid. That is, if you like, which is talking about the kofar. Now we're going back to kofar here. Even though I said in the beginning to talk about a person killing person, here would seem to be going, it's referring to back to kofar. That's all possible because vashor nagachu. Okay, that's a pasuk. So just as the ish is morish. So in other words, the person died, but the person who owned the owner of the ox killed has to pay kofar. Who gets a kofar? So just as the ish is morish nezakav levanav to his heir, so the isha as well moreshet nezakeh levaneha. To her as her children. Gemara says, what are you talking about? If this is a case of Yerusha, the Eina Bal Yoreshet Yishto, I thought the husband is Yoresh's wife. What do you mean just the husband is Morish the Kofer to his children, so to the Isha can? So Reish Lakish says, Kach Pirsha Reboshaya Avia Mishnah. Who can explain Mishnah if you like? But Kofer Shalacha Mitashanon. This is a very interesting principle. What's Kofer Shalach Mita? I'll show you the Marfolda. He says, She'ein kofer mishtalem ela lachar she'yamot hanizak. When is kofer payable? That's only after the victim has died. Oh, that means it wasn't, she didn't yet zocher that money, say if the woman is killed, when she was alive, clearly, because it's only, if you like, obligated after the woman died. If that's the case, this is not property that she had during her lifetime that a husband would normally yoresh. The havali ra'ui ve'ina bal yoresh bara'ui kamuchzak. What ra'ui means is this is funds that are, if you like, due to her in the future. If you like, not really hers, but for example, like she was yoresh from somebody else. And that's it to the husband's not yoresh that. And so too, therefore, since kofir is considered ra'ui, that's why it would go to her yorsha. Yafeh. That's just the next law. It seems to be a number of, if you like, disjointed laws here, but it's difficult to understand the flow of the Gemara. First case we're talking about people hitting. Next, we're talking about the case of kofir, where the isha, if you like, she's moshe children. Next case is as follows. Hamocher shor lechaveiro. Again, this is where the Mepharshim is not clear why this is appearing here. If someone sells an ox to his friend, v'nimtza nagchan, and it was discovered this ox is nagchan, that it was actually an ox that gored, right? A problematic one. Rav Amar Mekachtar, Rav says, well, it's Mekachtaru. It is in mistaken purchase, he can get his money back, to roll back the transaction. V'shmuel says, he says, you just wanted an ox. There's many uses for an ox. It could be to plow in your field, which is what you purchased it for, but I sold it, but it could have also been to shecht it immediately. And that's completely fit for purpose. Even a goring ox is fit for purpose to be shechted if you want to eat the meat from it. You wanted a barbecue that night. I don't know. So therefore, it's not mekachtalt. That's the debate between Rav and Shmuel. Okay, beseder. Yeah, like I'll just show you here. The mouthful says, "Lo yadati mai shaychut ida lahad plug tahacha." What's it even doing here? The efshar lamar ki mechar nagal lechaver. If someone sells an ox that's goring to his friend, and it's only after he discovered it's a nagchan, the rab da amar mekachtor, and according to rab it's mekachtor, halokeach patur im mimet adam. Then the keach would be exempt if it actually killed the person. Or Shmuel bichayev bekofer. Interesting that's maybe why it's connected. Okay, let's continue. So the natan pinyan nafsho, again, the case of a kofir, it's considered a pinyan, a redemption for the soul of the owner of the ox that killed it. So the question is, what is that? What value? What are you paying? So machloket is the tana tana in nefesh mazik. Some people say it's a value of the mazik, the owner of the ox. He has a redemption for his own soul, so therefore he pays his value. Again, how which is sold in the shuk. And in tani tani, some say it's actually nefesh nizak. It's considered the nefesh of the nizak, meaning the person who was killed. You've got to pay a pidyon to the value of the person that was killed. Yeah, fair. The Gemara now brings enough in between the two different ways of understanding it. The Gemara says, Manda amar nefesh, let's change the gears here, mazik, that the pidyon nafsho is the value of the owner of the ox that actually killed this other person. Then we say, Hikaho rishon, let's say what happens, the first ox, there was two oxen that were involved. The first ox ends up striking this individual. Hakiat mita, but it was a fatal blow. But at this stage, the person had not yet died. Well, Ba'a Sheni, and a second ox owned by a different person, comes and ends up, or sort of build below, ends up finishing him off. Now, the Gemara says, In teme yesh mezikim bekulo. Now, what does it mean, yesh mezikim bekulo? The Mara Fulda says, Afilu hecha dikem mita ikenami mezikim. Meaning, even if the person ends up dying, there's still a monetary compensation that will be involved for the damage that was caused. So there's a kofir, and also we say there's mezikim as well. So the Gemara now says, if that's the case, then the Rishon who caused that physical damage, reducing this value of this individual as a result of this really fatal blow, or this life-threatening blow, let's call it that, because I haven't yet died yet, reduces the value significantly. So he's going to be chayav to pay the damages. Vashenin, the second person, meaning the owner of the second ox, has to pay noten kofro, has to pay the kofir. Why? Because again, the value of the kofir is paying. Is the value itself is the value of the owner of the ox that caused the action, so ultimately killed this individual. So you've got the monetary component, the first person, the owner of the first ox is obligated to pay, and you've got the kofir the second person has to. However, in Temi, if you say, Ein nezikin bekulo, meaning that again, my Fulda says, Ela heiche de leika mita ike nezikin, av velo heiche de gamita. The only time you have to pay the compensation for damage is when the person didn't die, but if the person died, then you wouldn't have to pay. Then the Gemara says, here the Gerusa changed the Mara Fulda once again, Hasheni noten kofer, so there's no difference here, meaning the owner of the second ox, since his ox and ultimately killed this person, he has to pay the pidyon nafsho, the kofer, which is his own value, so he pays kofro. The harishon, and the first person, well, he doesn't have to pay the nezik component because the individual ended up dying, meaning it doesn't mean nezik these ox caused. However, command amar pidyon nafsho shel change nizak. If ever you say the pidyon nafsho, the value of the kofir is the value of the individual that died, then in tema, if you want to say yesh nizikin bekulo, if you say there can still be, if you like, nizikin, even though the person ended up dying, damages to pay that compensation even though the person died, Then Arishon Noten, changing gears, Nizko. He starts pays a nezek because of the damage he causes individual. Vahasheni would be patur now. This is the difference. Why? Because by the time the sheni's the second ox ended up killing this individual, the value of this individual is next to nothing, who is about to die. So therefore, if you're going to say that the owner of the second ox has to pay kofar, which he does, that it's the value of the person's about to die, well, his value is next is basically nothing. So he doesn't have to pay any kofar. However, in Tema, if you say ein nezikin bekulo, that if the person dies, there's no money, if there's no compensation for damage caused, then shneim pturim, they're both exempt. The first person exempt for the damage his ox caused because the person ultimately died. And the second person, because, again, yes, he's chayav to pay kofar, but the value of the kofar at that stage was pretty much zero because the person was about to die. Okay, beseder. Let's continue. Hashor, next. Shor ha'isha, shor yotomim, shor aputropius. Okay, shor hamidbar, shor hektesh, shor hager shemet, ve'in lo yorshim, hare elu chayav mita. So this is if it's ox, in other words, ox that was owned by a woman, or you got ox by yotomim. Importantly, here it says either she'en apotropos, Marfulda says, or shor apotropos shel yotomim ela she'al apotropos l'shomro. Fine, or shor, in other shores looking at the apotropos look after shor midbar. This is sounds like a hefker one. We'll see in a minute. Shor hekdesh bonds to hekdesh. Shor, if you like, hager shemet. So a convert that died and has no yorshim, so it's effectively up for anyone to take. In that situation, that ox, if it kills, would still be chayev mita. Yafe. Next. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Omer shor hamidbar, shor hekdesh, shor hager, shemet, ve'ein lo yorshim. All these situations, there's no baalim. There's no owners in that situation. So we say, patu min hamita, exempt from mita, mimnei she'ein lahem baalim. So the Gemara's have to explain this now. Why is the mitah, the shor, not had to be killed if they're in the baalim? So the Gemara asks immediately, my time with Rabbi Huda, because if u'ad bivala v'lo yishmereno, meaning he was warned in front of the owners and the owner looked after him. Mashma, if there's owners, then we put the ox down if it killed. However, in this situation, the cases of Rabbi Huda disagree with, ain't baalim la'elu. The Gemara asks, okay, what about inyan nezikin? What about for, if you like, damage? So, Tani Rabbi Yeshua inyan nezikin. Linya Zikin, Rabbi Meir Mechayev, Rabbi Yehuda Pater. He says a machloket Tanaim in the case if it just did damage, it didn't kill, whether we draw the parallel, and others are for kofar according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a requirement of Baalim, does the same hold true for damage? And that's it's a machloket Tanaim. And the Gemara asks Lekofer Ma. So again, the article says that this is other Mefarshim bring say that it's actually a different section, but we'll explain Ramara Folda. Kofer Ma Chayvul Pater Rabbi Yehuda. Mishum Damrina Babavli. Poter Rabbi Yehuda afilu benagach v'achachachikdish, nagach v'achachachifkir, or nagach v'achachach metager. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda seems to exempt in the case, like we've been saying, of mitzvah of this shore. And even if at the time of when it committed the crime, there were still owners. It was only after the fact that the owner either was mafkirat, the owner was makdishit, or it was owned by the ger, and the ger died and had no yorshim. Lechem mi baile. Now we're going to ask. Now the question is, lechem mi baile im ha-baalim chayvim kofer. Would the baalim still be chayv kofer? Okay. So the Gemara is now saying that's a chachayv gear. So Rav Pada says b'shem Rabbi Yehoshua ha-kol min ha-kofer shu chayv. Now everyone holds you're chayv. Okay, that they still need a kapara of the owners because they didn't look after it, even though after it they were mafkir. So Gemara says, "Vita amrin Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Yanai, k'shem shecholkim benezikin kachol kofer." It's actually no, you see, it's like machloket goes down if you like down the line, whether it's nezikin, whether it's kofer. Now Rabbi Yehuda k'mer Rabbi Zira heich abida uvda. How do we paskin? It says amrle grobo shai le'inyan nezikin, which is Rabbi Meir is Mechayev from Nezikin. It's a debate. Rabbi Meir is Mechayev and Rabbi Yehuda is Pater. However, Kofer, everyone agrees it would be Rakol, the person would be Chayev. Okay, Yafet. Now the Gemara says, this is now Halacha Chet. Shoshu Yotzeli Sakel. What if an ox is being taken out to be stoned? And the owners of Yikdish Balav, the owners tried to Makdish it to the base of Yikdash. Give it over to the base of Yikdash. Says, Einu Mukdash doesn't work. Why? Because at that stage, Asu Banat doesn't even belong to him anymore. Once it's given a din of this ox has to be given over to be killed, then it doesn't belong to him. You can't makdish it. V'im shachato, if you try to shech the two like basar asur. Im ad shelo nigmar dino, if it's prior to the din of beit din ruling this animal has to be killed, then we say It would work because it doesn't yet have a dinasasur na. Okay, then it'll be mutar. So Marna says, "Shor yotzei lisakel tani, shor shu yotzei lisakel." What if an ox has been taken out to be killed, stoned because it killed? However, ninside of zomim, and the aid was found in the case that aid and the testify were actually false witnesses. What do we say now? Well, clearly the ox doesn't have to be killed. But Rabbi Yochanan says, "Kolakum Rabbi Yochanan, at the time that he was that the Beit Din ruled that this animal must be killed, the balu mitiyash. They thought, oh, Beit Din has ruled, I've got no chance in anymore. And Yiyush is basically giving up hope. So it's effectively relinquishes ownership. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, he says, therefore, as soon as the found to be Eidim Zomi, anyone can go grab that ox and it's theirs. However, Rish Lakish says, and this is a fascinating point, he says, no, it's Yiyush Ta'utu. The Yiyush itself was a mistaken Yiyush, just like in Avakinyan and Mekach Ta'ut. Since it's a mistaken Yiyush, the Yiyush doesn't even apply and it still belongs to the owner. That's a machlok in Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, that concept. Also, what if someone's a servant has been taken out to be killed? And the witnesses that basically brought this person to trial and gave him the guilty sentence were found to be false. Once again, same debate. Rabbi Yochanan says zacha atzmo, that oh here zacha atzmo is that anyone can come and take it. Okay. Oh, sorry. Let me start again. Not anyone can take it. My mistake. Zacha atzmo means ha eved atzmo. Since he's hefker, that he can zoche himself and having to go free. Importantly, and Reish Lakish says Yush Tar was a mistake in Yush. Yafe. Okay. Now the Gemara says now this is now next Mishnah Halacha Tet. Masur l'shomer chinam. What if it was handed over to shomer chinam l'shomer nosasach. One of the four different types of shomrim: free guardian, someone who borrowed it, someone who's paid to look after it, or someone who rented it. We said now they take the position of the owners. So the yatzav ezik, if it goes out and causes damage, well, the person, the shomer, muad mishlem nezek shalem, the tam mishlem chatzin. Okay, the full culpability. The Gemara now says kashu balav mosira. Now this debate we'll see in a moment. It will be more clear when you do Gemara full. He says, what happens if you tied him up? And he locked the gate. And it went out and caused damage. Chayav. Rabbi Yehuda says, Tam Chayav, Mu'ad is Patur, Shnei Mo'ad Shmir Balav, and Shamur Hayav. And where Beliezer says, Ein Lo Shmir Lebesake. So you've got three different opinions. One is if you do some sort of Shmira by locking it up, and it still went out and caused damage, you'd be Chayav. Rabbi Yehuda, well, you'd be Patur. And according to Beliezer, there's no Shmira whatsoever. So what? There are three Shitot here. Do we have it here? I thought it was here. Yeah, if you look at the Marafulda on Ela Basakin, it says Afilu Shamro Shmuula vePila Kotel vYatzachayav, meaning Shloshlo Machalokot BeDavar. The Rebbe Meir Shmiya Pachuta Chayev Mula Pator, meaning what is required. We'll discuss when we get to tomorrow's daf in Mitzvah Hashem. But what level of Shmir is required to exempt someone in a case of Muad? According to the first understanding, V'lo Shmirnu Balav just means according to Rabbi Yehuda, a minimum type of Shmir is sufficient. Okay, according to Rabbi Meir, well, no, if it's a small amount of shmita, it's not good. But if you did a good, like a proper level of shmira, again, how do you draw the line? But the proper shmira, then you'd be patur, meaning you have to satisfactorily look after this animal that's a muad. And Rabbi Eliezer says, b'mu'ula, it doesn't matter. I don't care if you did the best time, you put chains and security systems and everything around this thing. If it gets out and it's a muad, you always chayv. Okay, so those are the first machlok tanaim. Obviously, there's what to work through in Mitzvah Hashem. We'll see that next year. All right, well, have a good day.